liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be Come As You Are.
Come As You Are indeed. With the developments in Washington, D.C., with giving the boot to Liz Cheney as number three in the House of Representatives, with a host of other issues, including the audit moving forward in Arizona, I felt it was time for the return of a man who earned a bachelor's in mathematics at the University of Wisconsin. He's a wizard with polls. He's very knowledgeable about Republican politics, in which he's very involved. Familiar to the listeners to this show, Rolf Lindgren. Rolf, welcome back to the Raw Deal.
It's great to be on the Raw Deal again.
Tell us your take. What are the big picture items? What should we be paying attention to, and why?
Well, the big item is that Liz Cheney's just been ousted, and Liz Stefanik has been voted in to replace her in Republican leadership position. That's a great news. It's a repudiation of the old Bush-Cheney Republican Party that was for endless wars and didn't really care much about the other things like cutting taxes and regulations or civil liberties. And basically, Stefanik is more of a Trump. She's more considered a moderate, but she's a staunch Trump supporter. And, you know, the media is, it's funny because the media is always saying the Republicans are too far right wing. So then they put in a moderate and then they get upset about that, too. So it just shows you that these words are just thrown out there. You know, is Trump a moderate then, or is he right wing? But anyways, it's great news because Liz Cheney made a stand. She had the corporate news media behind her. She said that the election was not stolen. She says there's no voter fraud. Trump says the election was stolen. Trump says there's lots of voter fraud, and Trump won, even though the media is 100% against Trump on the election, and also the January 6th issue of whether it's, you know, a riot or an insurrection or whatever they're calling it, compared to simply a protest. And, you know, there were 40,000 people at that protest, and about 290 of them actually went into the Capitol, which is less than 1%, and of the people that did go in the Capitol, most of them just walked around. There was hardly any damage done to the Capitol at all, virtually none. So the media just overplayed their hand again. Trump beat the news media. And I got some polling data on Liz Cheney. According to a poll done by the Economist magazine, only 18% of Republicans support Liz Cheney, and 61% oppose Liz Cheney. And this is of Republicans. So that's hideous numbers. Those are absolutely terrible numbers. Trump, when he was president, of course, had 90 to 95% approval among Republicans. So this is a huge, huge victory for liberty, for President Trump. It's a huge loss for the New World Order and the corporate mass media.
Rolf, I believe that, but I'd sure like to hear an explanation. Tell us why this is so significant, how Liz Cheney ever got in the position of being number three in the House. That seems to me outrageous in and of itself. She seems to me to be exactly as Trump describes her. She has no personality. There's no good reason she should be in that position. Even the Wyoming residents, it seems, don't care for her. So what's going on?
Yeah, well, she got put in the position because she's a Cheney, okay? She's a big name in the Republican Party, and she's also perceived as a good fundraiser. Okay, in other words, what the Republicans are trying to do is have a so-called big tent. So you want the Libertarian Republicans, you want the Trump Republicans, but you also, I guess, they're trying to keep the Bush and Cheney Republicans. So Cheney also had a 93% voting rate with the Trump on the Trump issues, which is pretty good voting. Not super, super great, but 93% is pretty good. So she was put in there. I believe she was only put in there in January, by the way. Okay. So I don't think that the people who put her in there knew she was going to go rogue, and just instead of doing her job, she was going to do was complain about Trump. Trump isn't even the president anymore. Okay. You know, right now her job is to fight against the Biden agenda, and she's not doing that, and that's why they got rid of her. She can complain about Trump all she wants to as a regular House member. Okay, nothing's going to happen to her. Okay, but they don't want her in leadership because it confuses the message. The Republican Party is like an organization, and if you have the people at the top going rogue. You know, let's say that you ran a corporation, like let's say you owned a corporation, American Family Insurance. Okay, so let's say that the CEO, every time he did an interview, instead of talking about insurance, he talked about polar bears or something or whatever. Okay, eventually you'd have to get rid of the guy because that's not his job. His job is to talk about insurance if you're the head of the American Family Insurance. If you're the head of the Republican caucus, you're supposed to talk about the Republican Party agenda and what's wrong with the Biden agenda. That's what you're supposed to do. You're also supposed to, like, line up votes for key things. Remember the Speaker, or not the Speaker, but Kevin McCarthy's the minority leader. He needs to line up opposition against the Biden agenda on strategy. She's not doing any of those things. They probably assumed that she would. She probably said that she would when she was picked, but she isn't doing it. It is very unusual to get rid of a leadership position like this. It's sometimes the speaker gets ousted because the party's not doing well, or there's a scandal or something then it can happen. But this is very unusual because there isn't really a quote a scandal. It's just that she's not a team player, and the Republicans are trying to stop the Biden agenda, period. So she's done, and she's not going to get reelected in Wyoming either. She's already been censured by the Republican Party of Wyoming. and they already have candidates lined up against her, and there will be some. I'm not completely up to date on it, but I think there's a candidate that they're looking at, but there'll probably be a candidate that's backed by Trump and backed by almost all Republicans to get rid of Cheney. In fact, Cheney may end up not even running for re-election when it's all said and done. So, you know, she's also, if you remember how she got elected in the first place, you know, originally she was going to run for Senate in Wyoming several years ago against an incumbent Republican. Okay. And I forgot what his name was. It starts with
Enzi, Mike Enzi.
Enzi. Yeah. She was going to run against Enzi, but then, you know, she had a couple of slip ups, like she was fishing without a license and things like that. And then, so she backed out of that. Then she was going to run for the House in Virginia at one point, because she lives in Virginia. She doesn't live in Wyoming. I mean, I guess she moved back there. She wasn't living in Wyoming for years. She was living in Virginia. That's where the New World Order, you know, military industrial complex people live. So she was going to run in Virginia, but apparently she couldn't find a district, the right district to run in. She didn't run for Senate. She decided to run for the House seat in Wyoming. I think there was an opening or something. And then she got elected to that. So not that many years ago. I think she's only in her second or third term. And she got put into leadership. I wasn't even aware of it at the time. I frankly wasn't paying attention, because usually the people in leadership just follow what the speaker wants and the majority of the Republicans. But she just went rogue. It all started with the January 6th thing, which, you know, all these people have been charged, but how many of these people have really done anything wrong? You know, a guy went into Nancy Pelosi's office and took a selfie. Okay, that's pretty funny. A lot of people were protesting with flags on the Capitol, like on the, you know, right outside the Capitol. Some people were walking around inside of the Capitol. You know, to me, that isn't that big of a deal. It's not as bad as the protests we had all summer with the Black Lives Matter, you know, the rioting in cities and burning and torching down buildings and police cars and beheading statues and things like that. So it's just the media trying to push their agenda. And Trump is the master of upsetting media narratives. That's one of the things that Trump does that really, really pisses off the people in the corporate news media. They think that they run the show, but Trump continually upsets their narrative. It started with 10 years ago when he was talking about Obama's birth certificate. Okay, he started talking about that, and they told him, no, you're not allowed to say that, and he talked about it anyway. Okay, so they talked about that for a couple of years. Then he was talking about running for president, and the media said, oh, he's never going to run for president. He's never going to run. He's just trying to get publicity, you know. Well, then he did run for president, so it proved the media was wrong. And then they said, oh, he's never going to win. He'll never win anything, you know. And then the next thing you know, he's winning, leading in the polls. Well, he's still never going to win, you know. So then he won anyway. He won the primaries. Then, oh, he'll never win the general election. You know, he won the general election. Then they say, oh, Miller's going to get him, you know. That didn't happen. Then, plus, well, Trump had many accomplishments as president, many of them including the First Step Act, the tax cuts, massive deregulation, started building the wall and enforcing border laws, and filling in many conservative judges. So he did all kinds of things that will be around for long after Trump is gone. And now Trump is looming over the 2024 elections. Okay? And this puts the media in a predicament as well. And here's why. Who's the leading contender for Republicans after Trump? Let me ask you that question.
I would say it was DeSantis of Florida.
Okay, DeSantis is probably the leading contender right now. So here's the problem. If Trump has disappeared, then the media could just start attacking DeSantis right now. Okay? But since Trump is around, the media still, they don't know who to attack. Should we attack Trump? Should we attack DeSantis? Well, what's going to happen is that when the next election rolls around, either DeSantis, if he runs, he'll have much better name recognition because he won't have all these attacks on him. Remember, it takes a long time to build up the really high negative ratings. One of the reasons why Trump beat Hillary Clinton is Hillary Clinton had very, very high negative ratings because she's been around for so long and been corrupt for so long. Okay, with DeSantis, he's a new, fresh face to most Americans. He doesn't have a lot of scandals. So the media attacks on DeSantis are going to be delayed because Trump is still around. On the other hand, if Trump decides to run, they're not attacking Trump as much as they were when he was the president because they have other people to attack. So the media can only attack so many people at one time. So I think that Trump is doing the right thing. And remember, Trump's issues are going to be around for long after Trump is gone. People are still going to want border security. They're going to want voter integrity. They're going to want lower taxes. They're going to want a prosperous economy. They're going to want freedom. They're not going to want the government running everything and so on. So Trump is in a good position right now. He's in a position where he has the options. He can run again. DeSantis could run, you know, whatever. Trump is also fairly old. We don't know how many years left he has, you know, before he just wants to retire. But Trump is in the driver's seat, and the new world order is in my opinion, was set back decades by Trump, maybe 50 years. The news media has a shorter reach. In other words, fewer people are influenced by these massive news companies than 5 or 10 years ago. And then of the people that do use these kinds of media sources, fewer believe it. So they just have less influence over events. And this Cheney issue is an example. You know, they couldn't influence the event. They just couldn't do it. So I think things are going in the right direction. The Democrats had their first 100 days to, you know, in the sun to get their stuff done, to tell everybody how great they are and how bad Trump is. And what did the Democrats accomplish in their first 100 days? Okay, let's see. Oh, they passed a stimulus bill, right? Okay. For some reason, in the middle of this pandemic, Trump never passed any stimulus bills. He passed one at the beginning, I think May of last year. Then we went the whole year without another stimulus bill. And considering how shut down the country was, things were actually pretty good, I thought. But the Democrats immediately need a stimulus bill near the end of the pandemic. So they pushed through a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. We get the jobs report last Friday, and there's 266,000 jobs. That comes out to $7 million per job. That's pathetic. I'd rather take the $7 million than take a job, wouldn't you? The jobs report was 800,000 jobs wrong, which shows that these, quote, experts can't predict anything. Same experts that predicted Trump was going to lose in 2016. They also were way off in 2020. Trump was supposed to lose by 5% to Biden in the pivotal battleground states, and the margin, even with the voter fraud, was still less than 1%. So the predictions are not accurate over and over. The unemployment rate went up in the last report to 6.1%. Even though people aren't even looking for jobs, and then the worst thing I think is the inflation went to 4.3%, in the last report. If inflation continues the way it looks like it may be, it's going to be a disaster for the Democrats and for the American people. I mean, the only good thing is we'll be able to vote out the Democrats at least. But if inflation ends up like with Jimmy Carter, then Joe Biden is going to be in big trouble. What is Joe Biden going to do if this inflation continues? What is the Federal Reserve going to do if this inflation continues? What does the Federal Reserve do? They print money, right? Well, printing money isn't going to fix an inflation problem, that's for sure. And there's nothing you can do when you have a lot of inflation, plus you have rising unemployment. So there's nothing that they can do. Now, what you could do is you could continue to cut government regulations, but that's not going to be done by Joe Biden. And frankly, Trump, most of Trump's regulations have not yet been reversed. Biden reversed some of the regulations, but most of the regulations that Trump did by executive order haven't been changed. Now, what we really need is we need a Republican Congress that supports Trump. Remember, the first Republican Congress that Trump had didn't really support Trump. We need Trump and a Republican Congress that supports Trump. Then we can cut regulations through congressional action. If you compare the number of regulations in the United States today to, say, 1960, there's like 100 times more regulations than we had in 1960. And if you compare 1960 to like 1900, in 1900 there was almost no regulations in the United States at all. So we probably need some regulations, but we have way too many regulations, period. So I think things are on the right track for people who support the Trump agenda. I think in the short term, it's not going to be very pretty in the next 18 months. It's not going to be very pretty. Then we also have the border problem. And, you know, what is the Biden strategy on the border? I think the strategy is just to let as many people in as possible and then hope that down the road they vote Democrat. I guess that's the strategy. You know, maybe they'll try to tighten it up a little bit closer to the election. I think that's what their strategy is. So they let the people. I heard 180,000 people came in illegally last month or something like that. Is that what you heard?
Yes, on that order. Possibly even more. I do think it's a catastrophe at the border, Rolf, and that the Democrats are flooding the country to change the demographics dramatically, and that the American people are outraged about it but don't know what they can do to change it. And I'm terribly worried about, you know, the theft of an election again. I mean, how can we set things right if these Dominion machines are allowed to continue in use, which is a complete obscenity because they were designed to steal elections?
Okay, well, first of all, it's hard to steal, to commit fraud when everybody's looking. What Trump has done is he's taken an issue that everybody's been talking about underground or whatever for a long time. I mean, going back to the Kennedy election when the dead people voted for him, and then you got the 2000 election with the machine, you know, the Diebold machines. In 2004, you had the Diebold machines and all that. And then in 2016, you know, the Russians were involved and all this. So people have been talking about voter irregularities and fraud for decades. And what Trump did is he took an issue that the media, frankly, doesn't really want to talk about and made it the biggest issue in the country for a few months. And it's probably the biggest issue right now for Republicans running for election next year. So it's a double whammy advantage for the Trump supporters. The first thing is, it's not going to be easy to do voter fraud when everybody's looking. People have now heard about all the different ways there's voter fraud. You could have a machine rigged. That's one way you can do it. But you can also do it through ballot harvesting. You can avoid not have voter ID. You can have indefinitely confined people claim they're handicapped and then they can't vote the normal way, so they get to vote without an ID. You can have these early voting fraud in the park, You can have mobile voting centers where they don't check ID. There's all kinds of mailing out all these ballots and all that. Right now, everybody's going to be like a hawk. People are going to be watching for anything that's fraudulent, anything that violates the rules. Lawsuits are going to be filed before the elections, not just after the elections. It's a huge issue. All Democrats say is there's no voter fraud. That's all they say. Or you're a racist, you're trying to suppress the vote. That's all they say. And people are sick of it. The second advantage is that you campaign on voter fraud as an issue. You tell people, look, I'm going to stop voter fraud, vote for me. I'm going to do this about voter fraud. We've already filed a lawsuit on voter fraud. Vote for me. That's how you're going to get the Trump people back to the polls, who maybe don't like Republicans in general, but they like Trump. That's what's going to happen. And remember, they've been doing voter fraud for a long time. The virus is what made voter fraud easier to get away with. That's another thing you have to remember, is unless we have pandemics for every election, which I don't think that's going to happen. The Democrats got away with a lot of mail-in voting because of the virus. So people just kind of let it go. They were worried about the virus, not the voting procedures. That's not going to happen in the next election. People are concerned about voting. So I think that the odds are stacked against the Democrats in the 2022 and 2024 elections. So,
Rolf, I'm really pleased to have you here, and I'm very eager to get your take, too, on developments in the Middle East and how here you had Donald Trump working out peace agreements between Israel and various different nations, four or five of them, actually quite a significant accomplishment for which I believe he's fully deserving of the Nobel Peace Prize. And you have Biden seemingly reversing it all, not getting us out of Afghanistan by the 1st of May. The Taliban are not taking it well. And that's for all the good reason. We'll be right back with Rolf Lundgren. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host, where I'm very pleased to have my dear friend Rolf Lindgren with us again, talking about developments in politics, including in relation to Liz Cheney. Rolf, I want you to be sure and tell us about Stefanik, who's replaced Cheney, because this seems to be a significant transformation. But also, before we go there, let's turn to the Middle East and give us your take about how Biden is faring. It seems to me he's made a calamitous mess out of Afghanistan, in that a lot of American troops and contractors are going to die as a consequence. They have put off, because they took Trump at his word, that U.S. forces would be out by the 1st of May. Because Biden has now contradicted that, the word of the U.S. means nothing to the Taliban. And the idea that he's giving it the absurd date of 9/11 is, in my opinion, ridiculous. Afghanistan had nothing to do with 9/11. Osama bin Laden was our man in Afghanistan, instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen. They used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes. He was even an officer in the CIA. Where an official for the agency visited him in a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death from his medical maladies in Afghanistan on 15 December 2001. So it seems to me Biden is mucking things up and that he's giving the green light to Israel to slaughter Palestinians. I'm very troubled. Your thoughts?
Okay, well, first of all, it's good that Biden is getting out of Afghanistan. Yeah, he's... There was a deal to do it by May 1st. Of course, Trump, you know, could have done it sooner too, I suppose. But so I think it's a good thing that what Biden's doing. I think that Biden's, why is Biden doing it? We know that the people behind Biden want some more wars. We know that. I think that he's just doing that because it'll help him with public relations, and maybe they don't really plan their next war in Afghanistan anyway. So I think they just made a strategic decision. Let's pull out, we can blame it. If something goes wrong, we can just blame it on Trump or something. So I think that's a good thing. As far as the Middle East and Israel, you know, well, first of all, people have been killing each other in the Middle East for 5,000 years. All these different religions that never agree with each other, fighting over land and all this stuff. I have a different opinions on this. First of all, Trump did organize all those peace treaties with United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Morocco, sedan, and it wasn't a formal agreement, but basically a treaty sort of with Saudi Arabia as well. So I think the idea that Biden is going to be able to do a war for Israel is probably not going to happen. I think that Palestine is too isolated. As far as a war, another type of war is the wars for oil. Well, right now that's not going to be feasible because the United States is still energy independent, at least they are for now. So I don't know what they're going to do with wars. I think that Biden is kind of boxed in. I think they want to, you know, rabble rouse something with Russia, maybe. As far as Israel and Palestine fighting, you know, I don't know. I mean, first of all, Palestine is no match for Israel in a war. So the United States should just keep out of it. I don't know who to blame. I don't know if there's covert agents stirring things up now that Trump is gone. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe there's, you know, who knows? There could be fake Arabs shooting rockets. There could be, you know, Mossad agents could be doing things. There could be rogue Palestinians that are shooting missiles. You know, the Palestine isn't even a real country. There's different factions of people in the area that have different ideas. Just like in the United States, we have different factions here, and same with Israel, they have different factions. The difference, of course, is that Palestine isn't even a real country, so it's easier to be a separate faction in Palestine than it is in Israel or the United States. So I'm not really that worried about it. I don't think that World War III is going to start because of what's going on. I think there's too many treaties in place, and I just don't think it's, I don't, I think it's just a slow news day, so they're going to talk about this. That's my opinion, and we'll just have to see what happens.
Just for the benefit of the audience, we will be taking calls a second hour. The number, of course, 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Rolf's glad to field calls from you during the second hour. Before we get there, Rolf, I want your opinion about the replacement for Cheney. I know, of course, she was supported by Trump, and I find it rather fascinating. Tell us, elaborate, what does all this mean to the Republican Party?
Well, she's considered more moderate than Cheney on a straight voting analysis. That's because in 2017, when she was new in Congress, she had a very moderate, you know, some people would call it a rhino voting record, although nobody really knew who she was back then. She's now and has been pro-Trump, okay? She's for the Trump agenda right now. So even if she didn't vote that way in 2017, she's for the Trump agenda now, and Liz Cheney isn't. Liz Cheney is for most, maybe she's for, you know, Liz Cheney voted for some Trump agenda things, but, you know, the Cheneys have never been fighting people who fought for lower taxes and less regulations. That's a sure thing. Remember when Dick Cheney said deficits don't matter? Remember that? Okay. I'm pretty sure that Liz Cheney agrees with that. Trump has been putting in conservative judges. So really the only issue is this thing about voter fraud. Of course, voter fraud is probably the biggest issue in the country right now. Maybe the virus is still the biggest issue according to the mainstream media. But for Republicans running for re-election or in 2022, it's going to be the biggest issue, as it looks like, is going to be the voter fraud and voter integrity. And Stefanik supports Trump on fighting against voter fraud, and Liz Cheney doesn't. Now, I got a news flash right here that just came in. Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, they just passed Assembly Bill 173, which prevents outside organizations from donating money directly to local governments for the administration of elections. How about that? The bill prevents outside groups from donating money directly to local governments for the administration of elections. In 2020, Mark Zuckerberg funneled $300 million into third-party organizations that offered money to five Wisconsin mayors. The cities had to agree to the rules, Zuckerberg's group, not the laws of Wisconsin. And those mayors include the mayor of Milwaukee and Green Bay. And I don't have the complete list here. Now, this law is probably going to be vetoed in Wisconsin, but these laws are being passed all over, introduced and passed all over the country. They're being passed. Arizona just passed the law and signed the bill. Because remember, Arizona has a Republican governor, but we have a Democratic governor in Wisconsin. Arizona just passed a law cleaning up voter lists. It's a law that says you've got to clean up these voter lists so people who are on the voting rolls who are dead or have moved, they have to be taken off the list, okay? Or people who have or names that are name variants, like your name is James Fetzer, right? Or is it James H. Fetzer? Or is it Jim Fetzer? So you could have three different, you could be registered three times under three different variants of one name. That's a big problem. And by the way, that's a huge problem with automatic voter registration. When Democrats tell you they want automatic voter registration, what's going to happen is you're going to have massive amounts of multiple registrations of the same person under name variants if you have automatic registration. So that's a reason not to have it. Of course, the Democrats just want as many people possible registered so they can mail votes out, and then they can either prod some old person who doesn't give a crap about voting and just fill out their ballot form or tell them to fill it out and then turn it in. That's what they want. It's called voter harvesting. And the Brennan Center for Law, if you remember former Supreme Court Justice William Brennan, was a known advocate for civil liberties, okay? He was great on a lot of civil liberties back from the—I think he started in the 50s and went all the way into the 90s. He was on the court. Well, now his center is into this. They don't consider the rights of voters to have their vote count, because they want to have as many illegal votes mixed in with your legal vote. So the Brennan Center tracks so-called voter suppression laws on their website. You can look this up, and they track every state that has a quote, voter suppression law. And the last I looked at it, there were about 850 voter suppression laws introduced in 46 states. Okay, that's a lot of laws. Well, these are really voter integrity laws, because all these are all laws that say you have to have an ID, you have to clean up voter lists, you can't have outside groups paying off the mayor, you can't have, you know, early voting, you can't vote by email, you can't vote by mail. All these are ways to get around the way you're supposed to vote. You're supposed to go in and vote. Go in, show your ID, and vote. That's what you do when you go to the bank. That's what you should have to do when you vote. And the Brennan Center tracks the bills based on where they are in the process. So, like I said, some bills are just introduced. Some bills have been voted through committee. Some bills have passed the one branch of the legislature. Some bills have passed both branches of the legislature. And then some bills have been passed into law. Now we know that Georgia just passed a voter integrity law. That got a lot of publicity because Joe Biden said it was a Jim Crow law. And then not long after that was passed, Florida passed a tougher law that's even tougher for, you know, a better voter integrity law. Now we have one that just came from Arizona a few days ago, and I'm not aware of every single law, but the laws that, if the laws pass, that's good, because then it'll be harder for the Democrats to cheat. And if the laws don't pass, like in Wisconsin, where they're unlikely to pass, then that gives candidates an issue to run on in the next election. They can say, look, I want to pass the bill AB 173. I don't want outside organizations donating money to mayors to subvert our election process. And you can get people to vote for you over the opponent, because none of the Democrats are going to support any of these bills. And there are also going to be rhino Republicans like Liz Cheney out there that don't support these bills. So incumbents that aren't on board with these voter laws will be challenged by other Republicans on this issue. So it's a win-win-win situation, all these laws that have been, or bills that have been introduced, and some of them have already been passed. Also, there's a Supreme Court case coming out probably in June. It's an Arizona law that bans voter harvesting. It's very likely the Supreme Court will vote 6-3 that the ballot harvesting law, the anti-ballot harvesting law in Arizona, is legal. There's also another law, another Supreme Court case, the same case really, it's two combined. Arizona has a law that says if you vote in the wrong district, your vote doesn't count. You have to vote in the right district. It's a responsibility. Voting is a responsibility, not a right. You have the responsibility to figure out where you're supposed to go vote, and then you go vote. If you don't vote in the right place, your vote doesn't count. And secondly, if you do vote in the wrong place, you would think that the people at the counter would tell you, no, you're not. This isn't your district. You got to go somewhere else and tell you where to go. So there's no reason why people should be voting in the wrong place anyway. But there's a law, and it's very likely the Supreme Court will uphold that law. And I think I just saw another Supreme Court case that the Supreme Court might be taking as well regarding voter integrity. So,
Ralph, I want to interject with what I regard as an incendiary report from the Daily Coast, which most understand to be a left-wing rag. Palm Beach officials reportedly planning for Trump indictment. Word extradition was mentioned. Let me read this and get your take on it. A new story out of Politico reports that officials in Palm Beach, Florida, have been making contingency plans just in case the twice-impeached former President Donald Trump is indicted on one of the myriad possible charges being investigated by Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance Jr. One of the issues facing officials is a seldom-used Florida statute that gives a state's governor the power to intervene in any extradition of Florida residents to other states in the union. It isn't clear what these contingency plans consist of. Is it making sure Trump is justifiably extradited if the request is made, or how they might prolong his stay in Florida in defiance of the law? A clerk at the Circuit Court of Palm Beach County told Politico, "The statute leaves room for interpretation that the governor has the power to order a review and potentially not comply with the extradition notice." And we all know, this is a Daily Coast, mind you, how corrupt GOP officials are when it comes to the interpretation of laws. Their fascist readings of our country's legal system are the reason they have loaded up the country's judicial system with right-wing judges. I mean, that's just shameless. It continues. Vance has been making headlines as his investigation into the Trump Organization have ramped up over the past few months. In February, it was reported that Vance had brought on former prosecutor Mike Pomerantz to help with his investigation into the family. Pomerantz has a long history of prosecuting white-collar crimes as well as organized crime in the New York system. Vance has also interviewed Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr. concerning the murky self-dealing aspects between the Trump Organization, the family's private business, and Trump's inaugural committee. The New York District Attorney's Office has also reportedly expanded their investigation into Trump family real estate holdings and has been able to secure some of the Trump's long-hidden tax returns. Whether or not Vance's investigation will uncover how Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump's personal wealth ballooned while they were technically White House advisors remains to be seen. The interesting aspect of the Trump extradition story is that while Trump does have a residency in the Sunshine State, he usually moves to New Jersey's Bedminster during the summer months. While New Jersey has a similar extradition statute to Florida, the governor of the state is Democrat Phil Murphy. Frankly, again, Daily Coast, almost any governor not named DeSantis would be one step closer to justice. In March, Vance announced his plan to retire at the end of 2021. Hopefully, he can place Donald Trump and friends back in a New York court before he leaves. I find that just disgusting, Rolf, beyond all words. And, you know, this obviously is intended to be highly incendiary to any Republicans and Trump supporters and part of the Democrat effort to smear the guy who cleaned their clock, not just in 2016, but again in 2020, and whom they fear above all as a political opponent. Your thoughts?
Okay, well, first of all, it's probably fake news. You know, Trump isn't going to be, is unlikely to be indicted. I mean, Cyrus Vance is a New York prosecutor, right? Or is he a federal prosecutor?
No, he's a district attorney in New York.
Okay, so he's a federal prosecutor. Okay.
No, he's a district attorney of New York.
Oh, yes. Okay, so he is a state prosecutor. Okay. Okay.
Actually, Manhattan. He's the Manhattan DA.
Yeah, he's doing the state taxes. Okay. So, first of all, if Trump were charged, there would be an issue of extradition. You know, there's certain things in the Constitution that you're supposed to, you know, comply with other states on, you know, serving up, you know, fugitives or something. But there still would be a fight over it, which would become a political fight as well as a legal fight. Remember, Trump, when Trump does his taxes, he turns over his information and the accountants do the taxes. Okay. So even if there's something that's not right in the taxes, then all you do is you say it's a civil issue. You say you owe some more money in your taxes. Okay. Trump has been contesting tax issues for years on different things. And a lot of people do that because most people want to pay less taxes. So the idea that there's anything wrong with Trump's taxes, there's nothing that's ever been revealed that says that what Trump did wrong with his taxes. Trump is the most scrutinized person in the history of the United States on legal issues, and no one's ever found anything that he's done that's illegal. So now, as far as the contingency plan, you know, maybe somebody said, well, what are we going to do if Trump gets indicted? Okay. Maybe somebody said that. Maybe some political reporter took that and then made a big story out of it. You know, if Ron DeSantis is the governor, he's not going to buy these charges, because if there's any charges against Trump, most people aren't going to believe him anyway, except for the people that hate Trump. So, you know, DeSantis will take a look at what he's accused of doing, but if DeSantis thinks it's a bogus harassment charge, then there's going to be issues with his compliance with New York. You see, I mean, you know, if he thinks it's a serious problem for Trump, like he really did commit a crime, then it'll be a tough decision for DeSantis. But you know, it's the same with Matt Gaetz. You heard about him, right? Congressman Gaetz.
Yes.
Okay. Now there's leaks that he's under investigation for sex trafficking or something. Okay, so Gaetz apparently he's a young guy. He's like in his late 30s now, but apparently in his late 20s, he was a young, good-looking guy, successful, and he probably had a bunch of girlfriends. Okay, so there's a claim that one of the girls was 17 or something. Okay,
yes.
So we don't even know who these people are. We don't know if it happened. Maybe he had dinner with a girl that's 17. That's not illegal. I mean, so we don't know we don't really know anything. It sounds more like it's just rumors because they don't like Matt Gaetz, because Matt Gaetz is a 100% Trump supporter. Matt Gaetz was on that committee, you know, or the House committee investigating the spying on Trump. And that's where Ron DeSantis was on that committee. So was Matt Gaetz. So was Jim Jordan. So was Jason Chavez. So was Doug Collins. So was Trey Gowdy. All these people were on that same committee. Devin Nunez. That committee is turned into the superstar committee. And Matt Gaetz is on that list. So when they leak stuff out, you know, if they're leaking stuff out about an investigation against Matt Gaetz or Trump, that's not even legal. Grand jury proceedings are supposed to be secret. Where's the investigation on the leak on Matt Gaetz or whatever Cyrus Vance is doing? Where's that investigation? Those aren't legal. What if Trump gets reelected in 2024 and he investigates the leaks of from Cyrus Vance's office? What if that happens? And by the way, is Cyrus Vance looking over his shoulder right now, wondering about that? So I'm just telling you that we have powerful. There's powerful forces at work. And until we had Trump, we didn't have anybody in there with real power. We had Ron Paul, we had Rand Paul. Okay, but until we had Trump as a president, we didn't have anybody really fighting in a position of real power for the good guys. And this thing with Trump's taxes, you know how the Democrats love taxes, right? They want more taxes, more taxes, more income taxes, tax the rich. That's all they talk about is taxes. Okay. Well, you know, this country wasn't built on taxes. This country was built on a tax revolt. Sam Adams, no taxation without representation. Taxes in this country up until 1913, there was no income tax. Until 1913, there was a temporary and illegal tax during the Civil War that was very low by our standards. But until 1913, there wasn't even a legal income tax. And now, 100 years later, now the Democrats are yelling and screaming for more taxes. Well, why do they want more taxes? Because the New World Order, the multi-billionaires who have been in control since the assassination of JFK, they want high income taxes. Because if you're a multi-billionaire, you don't care about what the tax rate is. You've already got $150 billion. You don't care what the tax rate is, because the tax is on income, not on wealth. It's on income.
Okay. Let me reiterate for our audience that Rolf is open to taking calls after the break. The number 540-352-4452. Again, 540-352-4452. To reach Rolf and me, Mitchell will handle your call. We'll be standing by. And Rolf, I've got a question about a flare-up between AOC and Marjorie Taylor Greene when we return from the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence.
the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We have our first caller standing by, but before I bring him in, Rolf, I want to mention to you that something like a cat fight appears to be shaping up between AOC, who, of course, is the most charismatic young woman in the Democrat Party, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom I esteem, where AOC has been unhappy with her, no doubt because she's getting a lot of attention that AOC believes belongs to her exclusively. She says, this is the report now from Newsmax, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says she's used to people like Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who confronted her earlier this week outside the House chamber from her days as a New York City bartender. These are the kinds of people I threw out of bars all the time, the New York Democrat told reporters on Capitol Hill Thursday, a day after Greene shouted at her while the two left the House floor. Greene, of course, has challenged her to a debate on the Green Deal, but AOC would lose massively, Rolf. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene is much smarter, twice as smart as AOC. I find it fascinating because these are, in my opinion, the two most interesting young woman members of their parties, respectively.
Well, it's just, it's kind of more of like a gossip story. I mean, it's pretty funny to read about it. But, you know, what does it really mean? I think that Marjorie Greene and Gaetz went to Wyoming and gave a speeches against Liz Cheney, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah, they were doing a tour together. Yeah, I was reporting on it. Looked really good. Gaetz and she make a dynamic duo.
Yep. So AOC, you know, is kind of a joke. She's in the Democrat. Remember, she wasn't favored by the Democrats didn't want her in the she was the number four Democrat in leadership. His name was Joe Crowley. I believe was his name. He wasn't very well known, but AOC beat her in the primary. And according to an analysis I read, the New York Times never once mentioned AOC before the primary. In other words, they didn't want her to win. Okay, so once she won, then now she's the biggest story in the country of House Democrats. But she wasn't supposed to win in the first place. Now that she's in there, you know, she's probably effective at bringing, you know, young progressives into the Democratic Party. But, you know, they don't really want her any. I don't think she's going to be in leadership. You know, there's talk that she may run for the Senate. If she runs for the Senate, though, she's going to fight. It's going to be a lot different than it is now, because the Democratic establishment doesn't want her as a senator. Okay, they don't want her as a senator because she's too radical. The multi-billionaire people don't really want her in power. They want her recruiting young progressives into the Democratic Party to vote Democrat. They want that, but they don't want her with any real power. She doesn't have any real much power. Remember, she's just a one vote in the House. Okay.
Yeah, but she's very charismatic and gets
she is
a
charismatic. But it's all it's all media created.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody really knew who she was until obviously she won the primary, and then she got, because she's young and pretty good looking. That's the only reason why she's publicized.
Here's a little more of the story, and then we'll take our callers standing by from Texas. The Georgia lawmaker also called out AOC for supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, which Green called a terrorist group, and Antifa. Green called the Democrat lawmaker a chicken and a radical socialist who refused to debate the Green New Deal, where I think Green would mop the floor with her. Green denied her behavior was aggressive and ridiculed AOC for saying she threw people like her out of bars. So she throws out paying customers? Is that how she feels? She throws out paying customers? Is that what she's saying? Green said, you know, it would be nice if they would treat us civilly. But ever since January 6th, they can't even treat us with respect. And we were just as much victims of the riot here, too. We didn't cause it. All these lies that they say on and on and on, you know, they need to be civil. None of them are civil to me. I'm all with Marjorie Greene on this, and I think AOC is just jealous because Marjorie's getting a lot of attention. Meanwhile, we do have the first caller, Bruce from Texas. I want to bring in Bruce. Join the conversation.
Hey, Jim. Hello, Ross.
Hi there.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm connected. Yeah, hey, Ralph, you ought to be on Fox News or something, and you hit the talking points like nobody's business. and that idea about putting election integrity at the top of the platform is spot on. I think they can win with that.
It's at the top right now, and the candidates all over the country are going to be running on that as one of their main issues, or maybe the main issue. And like I said, it's a two-pronged issue. It's not only are you going to run on the issue, you're going to be looking out for voter fraud while you're running. So right. It's going to be, people are going to be looking for the fraud before it happens.
Good. I got something maybe you want to look into. I didn't have the time to check into his fundraising, but Cyrus Vance Jr., I'm looking at an article in the Wall Street Journal from January. And at that time, he had only raised a few thousand dollars for his reelection, which is next month. Now, if he had a big infusion of donations, he could probably trace that money trail and see who his backers are. Oh, by the way, Jim, remember that he's related to Paul Vance, the Sandy Hook state trooper spokesman.
Very interesting. Is he Cyrus Vance is related to Paul Vance?
Yes.
I'm
quite sure.
Astonished. It was Paul Vance who threatened anyone who challenged the official narrative of Sandy Hook in his position as a lieutenant with the Connecticut State Police. And take my word for it. The Connecticut State Police were running the shop behind the scene. I mean, it was a two-day FEMA exercise presented as mass murder. But they took a massive number of photographs that implicate themselves in staging the whole event. It's really shocking.
and that Vance, that Cyrus Vance should be related to Paul Vance, I found profoundly disturbing. Rolf.
Well, also Cyrus Vance Sr. was in the Jimmy Carter administration, and there was an issue where he was using illegal drugs, cocaine, and there was a big scandal at the time, and I forget how it was resolved, but he was doing illegal drugs, and he was in the government that was prosecuting other people for doing them. So, you know, this family is not, you know, I don't have a lot of respect for it, the family, but this Cyrus Vance Jr., he keeps talking about a tax law that he broke. What law did he break? Okay, and if it's confidential, why are you talking about it? And if it's not confidential, then what is the law? What is the law that Trump broke? We keep hearing about this, that Trump broke these laws. We don't know that Trump. It sounds to me like he's just a fishing expedition. He just wants to get a hold of his tax returns. You know the tax returns are already released to the government every year. Did you know that the IRS has Trump's tax returns? Did you know that?
No. Well, of course they do. He's following the IRS.
So the government, Trump, when they say Trump won't give out his tax returns, Trump gives out his tax returns every year. He files state tax returns and probably in more than one state, and he files federal returns. So the government already has his tax returns. Trump doesn't just fill out his taxes and keep them in his office. He has to turn them into the government.
If there was something fishy there, he would have been audited. Oh, I'm sure he's already audited, but he would have been, charged with something, with fraud or tax evasion.
The IRS, the IRS refers, if there's a tax fraud case, they just refer it to a prosecutor to do something about. And that's what they do.
Exactly.
And remember, the New York Times did a big expose about Trump's taxes. You know, this gigantic story that Trump was getting his assets from his father and wasn't paying all of his taxes. Well, another thing some people do is they use tax laws to minimize their taxes. Okay? That's not illegal. It's not illegal to take the tax laws as they exist, get your accountant to do clever accounting and avoid paying as much taxes as you can. That's not illegal to do that. So that's what Trump does. Trump doesn't want to pay a lot of taxes. Trump just voted for Trump passed a tax cut. So that proves that Trump isn't in favor of taxes. Doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one more question. It's about the Middle East there. And this is for Jim and yourself if you want it. Recall back, now I'm not implicating Trump in any conspiracy, but you know, he had Kushner under him. Kushner is real tight with Netanyahu and what have you. You had that round of agreements, like you said, with the Middle Eastern states, the treaties or just written agreements, trying to, I think this was setting the stage for what just happened there at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And then you had that coup attempt in Jordan against King Abdullah that failed. And then you had Benjamin Netanyahu on the edge of losing power. And then following that, this was earlier this month, when he was really on the cusp of being, losing power and then being indicted on criminal charges of corruption. And then this Al-Aqsa Mosque incident happens. I think this was pre-planned, just like 9/11 didn't happen in a month or two. It took time to bring that to fruition. And so I'm very suspicious about Kushner's role, and I think he set the stage because Israel just wants to expand it, and this is going to be their excuse. What do y'all think?
Well, I certainly agree that this all looks completely contrived to threaten the people of Gaza, which is frequently described as the world's largest concentration camp. I mean, the Palestinian people, have sticks and stones. They're really not in a position to defeat Israel, which is the world's fourth strongest army. I mean, it was remarkable during the last invasion of Lebanon that Hezbollah was able to fight Israel to a draw, widely attributed to
General Qasem Soleimani, who is quite a political, a military tactician and a genius. And I believe that the reason he was taken out, no doubt at the bequest of Bibi Netanyahu, was as a form of revenge for exposing that Israel could not defeat Hezbollah. But what's going on here is simply in a continuation of the atrocity that has represented Israeli abuse of Palestinians from the beginning. I mean, I think it was a terrible idea to found this nation state as a religious center for Jews. I think it was a historical calamity. And to take the land of Palestine away from the Palestinians was really, in my judgment, outrageous. And it's had unending consequences. Rolf, your thoughts.
Well, I think they took the land away from the Ottoman Empire first. But I think that there's not really that much going on over there, really. There's a few rockets were fired. Yeah, that's not, to me, that's not a very big story. That's like old news. I think a lot of people are just complaining about Jared Kushner because he's Jewish. The reality is that the treaties that were signed make it less likely that there's going to be a big war in the Middle East in the future because of all these
different
treaties.
Well, that's what I said there, Rolf. That gives Israel free hands.
No, it doesn't. It gets free because
yes,
the Arab countries signed. No, the Arab countries signed the treaties too, though. They were signed with Arab countries. Did you know that?
Yeah, I don't quite.
So you think it's better not to have any peace treaties?
Okay, I'm sorry to call trouble.
I mean, Israel has less of a free hand now because they're not constrained by a treaty. You see. Right. What it does is it isolates Palestine and it puts pressure. If Trump had a second term, there would probably be a peace treaty between Palestine and Israel instead of rockets being fired. That's probably what would have happened.
Bruce,
look at the map. Look at North Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia. Look at all the land controlled by the Arabs, and then look how much land the Jews have. They have this little bitty speck of land that doesn't even have any oil on it. In the middle of a massive amount of land that are there. Why not let the Jews have a little bit of land, and why not let the Arabs have 99% of the land? What's wrong with that?
Well, Saudi Arabia is mostly desert, and that's fertile territory.
But what about North Africa, though? North American coast or North African coast isn't mostly desert. It's Mediterranean land next to the ocean. Then you have the oil producing. Remember, Saudi Arabia has lots of oil, even if it's in a desert. Israel doesn't have any oil. So what's wrong with Israel having a little speck of land, and the Arabs have a giant amount of land? What's wrong with that?
Bruce,
look at the map. Bruce, 1947.
Bruce, I was.
I know, Jim. You don't like arguing this with your guests. I'm not trying to argue, but Bruce, I think I've made my point. Bruce. So I'm going to be friendly with the show. But I got to go though because I'm at work, like I said.
Okay, Bruce. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the call, though.
Thank you for calling in. We have a second caller standing by, Paul from California. Join the conversation, Paul.
Allow me to unmute for a second. So, Rolf, I have a question. There's a number of statements I could make and I would like to make, but let me ask you a question. Are you a regular listener to Jim's shows?
Not a regular listener, but I talk to him on the phone frequently.
Okay, so I don't know if these phone conversations in any way cover the content of Jim's shows over all these years, but I just really don't think that you could say the things that you do or hold some of the positions that you do, either A, having regular conversations with Jim, or B, having listened to Jim's shows and the guests that he has on, because you just seem to be, how should I say, inadequately aware of the, you know, what they call realpolitik of the world. You just mentioned that, well, if Trump had got a second term, who do you think prevented Trump from getting a second term? Do you think it was, for example, the Palestinians or maybe the South Koreans? You know, maybe
no.
The Germans prevented Trump from having a second term. What do you think happened?
Well, I would say that that there was a variety of forces allied against him, most of the multi-billionaires opposed Trump. The media opposed Trump, the people who made the virus opposed Trump, the people who hired Robert Mueller opposed Trump, the people who impeached Trump opposed Trump. So those are the main groups.
Bear in mind, Paul, that I welcome, diverse opinions. And yes, Rolf and I disagree about various aspects of this. I'm much more convinced about the theft of the election and the corruption of the Democrats and so forth. And Rolf is much less inclined to buy that for reasons of his own. But I felt that because of his perspective on Washington and the parties, although it's from what you might call a somewhat more conventional political perspective, that it would be valuable to get his insights about Liz Cheney, Stefanik, and a bunch of these other issues. So, I understand why you're saying what you're saying, but I just don't have any presumption or demand that everyone, whom I feature on the show share my point of view. In fact, I think it's valuable to get diversity. So I was glad to bring
that. What specifically are you objecting to that I said?
Oh, Paul's just talking about what I have to say about the coronavirus, a fabricated pandemic, about the use of the vaccines to kill people.
If the virus was created in a lab, then wasn't created in a lab. So it's one or the other. So the virus, it's Rand Paul.
Paul, don't talk over. Don't talk over. Okay. Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead, Rolf.
Rand Paul just came out and said that on TV, he said Fauci may be culpable for the whole thing. That means he may be involved in the funding of the virus research and then creating the virus and then maybe unleashing the virus and then covering up where it came from. The virus is the only, of all the things they did against Trump, the only thing that actually worked was the virus. The Mueller thing didn't really work. The impeachments didn't work, but the virus did work. It took away Trump's number one campaign issue, the great economy. It prevented Trump from holding giant rallies. It gave Joe Biden an excuse not to do any campaigning at all or virtually none. It also gave the Democrats cover for voting by mail. And it also put Trump in a position where Trump did not want to expand government powers in a crisis, so it opened Trump up for attacks that he didn't do enough to fight against the virus. So the virus hurt Trump over and over again.
Now, Paul, I agree with everything that Rolf just sketched. Those were all political consequences of the pandemic, whether you regard it as real or fake. That, Trump was, they did cut off Trump's campaign, large rallies and the economy and all that. It didn't ultimately make a difference because he got overwhelming support had they not stolen the election, where I have much stronger views about that than does Rolf. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Please just let me go just a little bit because I know it won't be long before I will be constrained for one reason or another. So many points. It's true, and we both know it. And your guest had the whole first hour, a lot of which I missed. I'll admit that. But then I called in because I got a text after. Anyway, the long and the short of it is this. So many things that have been said and that were just recently said don't make any sense to me at all and don't make any sense to very many of your listeners. And number one, the very first thing that I want to address is this whole idea about the media, right? So the media was in lockstep opposed to Trump. Sure, Fox gave some airtime to certain, people, which in many ways they're completely constrained too in what they say. There's certain words that those Fox commentators, such as Sean Hannity, such as Tucker Carlson and so forth, there's certain words and certain phrases that they will never, ever utter, okay? And the idea that a virus from a Wuhan lab did Trump in is absurd. For God's sake, nobody would know anything about any virus without the media.
Paul.
And Jim, you have, covered so well.
Paul.
I'm not done yet. Just hang on.
Listen, Paul, come on. What Rolf is talking about is the way it was perceived and the political consequences versus the reality of its origins, you know, and he's right about the political ramifications.
No, there's no political. It didn't hurt Trump at all. Look at all the rallies. That's my point. The elections are totally fake. How could you not know this? How could Rolf, who in many times comes off as having the naive mind of a child, cannot perceive that everything is fake? So it didn't matter. None of this mattered. Oh. Trump would have still won overwhelmingly, virus or no virus. The bottom line is we don't live in a world that we control. Doesn't he get it?
Trump did win overwhelmingly, absent the manipulation of the vote, Paul. You know that.
Correct.
For example, Arizona, it appears that in Arizona, Trump carried the state by 1 million votes. But the way they manipulated the outcome, it had Biden squeaking in with 10,000 when at a rally in Phoenix just weeks before, he made a joint appearance with Kamala Harris, and the turnout was exactly zero. No one turned out. I mean, the idea that Biden carried Arizona is just absurd. Just absurd.
It's precisely my point. So for you and Ralph that are continuing to listen to me, thank you, and to all the regular listeners who are continuing to listen to me, like me or not, these are exactly the points that I'm making. In other words, it doesn't matter. Now, what matters is who has power and control, and it ain't us, and it's not anybody in a voting booth anywhere. I mean, that's the problem that we have. So as interesting as talking about politics can be sometimes, I just think that the majority of the conversation that I've heard and that we've gone back and forth is hopelessly naive. I mean, yes, Trump would have won overwhelmingly. Okay. He was super popular. But what good did it do?
Let me ask you a question. When did the people take control? You said the people who have control. When did they take control?
What kind of question is that? What do you want to date the
You
time?
Said that they're in control now. When did they take control?
I don't think
I'm asking
he's
you a question.
You just asked the same question.
You said everything is fake.
It.
When
you
did the people
the
who can
a third time?
Stand by. Going to the break. We'll be right back with Rolf Wingren. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I appreciate where Paula is coming from. As a longtime listener and caller to the show, I don't expect or require guests on the show to agree with me on various issues, and therefore, I'm not going to take more with Paul now, even though I appreciate why he called in. I have a different question for you, Rolf, which has to do with the Colonial Pipeline business. I have no comment on that, Joe Biden said, on reports that Colonial Pipeline paid a ransom of $5 million to hackers. I have another report that Biden himself wanted the pipeline to shut down to create an artificial gas shortage as part of a psychological preparation for moving the Green New Deal, which in my opinion is going to be catastrophic for the country. Your thoughts, Rolf?
Okay. The New Deal, New Green Deal, would be catastrophic for the country. They're not going to be able to pass it. They're not really going to be able to pass much more than what they've already passed. They remember they barely have 50-50 in the Senate, so they have to have every senator to pass something. Plus, they barely have an advantage in the House as well. It's only a few votes to spare. So the 100-day period is over. Right now, the lobbyists are still trying to get their stuff through, but the new Green Deal, I don't think is not going to pass. That's what I think. So,
yeah, well, I certainly like that it not pass. It would cause havoc to the nation and destroy us economically. But then Biden is moving that way from day one.
But remember, Joe Biden doesn't really want the new Green Deal. That's just out there for public relations to try to get the progressives and the millennials. They're trying to do a few items, like, you know, they want a $15 minimum wage. Do they really want a $15 minimum wage? I don't know. What do they want? Because if they really wanted, why couldn't they just take that and put it as a separate bill and vote on it? Why doesn't Nancy Pelosi just say, okay, let's pass a $15 minimum wage. Okay. Why don't they do that? They do that. So what they really want, it's hard to know. Maybe they want to use that as a way to get something else through. See, one of the tactics of the lobbyists is to attach unpopular things to popular things.
Yes.
Or things that are, or just give a name to something. This is the stimulus bill, and then put stuff in that has nothing to do with, like, the virus or anything, and stick stuff in the bill. That's a tactic that the lobbyists use. So maybe they're, you know, the $15 minimum wage is probably, you know, I don't support it, but you know, maybe that's one of the only things the Democrats support that might be actually be popular. It's maybe the only thing. So I don't know I don't know exactly what they're trying to do right now. I think they're kind of reaching a dead end, in my opinion.
What do you think of this pipeline shutdown that's jacked up gas prices in quite a few states as high as $7 a gallon?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if you can hack a pipeline, why can't you hack an election? So I don't know what happened with the pipeline. I didn't realize you could hack pipelines with computers. If we do have World War III, I would assume that it would be done often with cyber war and maybe bio warfare. So, you know, I don't know who hacked it. I don't know if the CIA hacked it, if the Chinese hacked it. I mean, I don't know if some guys on the, you know, some teenagers that thought it was funny hacked it. I don't know. I don't really know who did it. We haven't really heard who did it. I think they said the Russians did it or something.
Yeah, but that's
I think it's just a screw up somewhere. I don't see how it benefits Joe Biden. I mean, to have a gas shortage right after the economic report that came in. I mean, I don't think it benefits anybody. I think this is just a screw up as far as I'm concerned.
Before I bring in our next caller, who's patiently standing by, what do you think about the fact that these stimulus benefits make many workers better off by not going back to work? I mean, we've had several states now cutting off unemployment to get them back to work. I find that pretty troubling.
So you're asking me that question?
Yeah,
it's troubling that they're going to drop the unemployment, or it's troubling that people aren't going to work because of the unemployment.
It's troubling that Biden's paying people more money to stay home than they would make going back to work.
I think they just screwed up. Remember, one of the differences between Trump and Biden is Trump is the actual president doing the actual thinking. Same with Obama. Now he has to. You can't do all the thinking yourself, but at least with. And Trump had people doing stuff too, but what you do when you have a real leader, even though someone else might be doing the work, the president still goes over everything and says, okay, what's up with this, what's up with this, what's up with that, and figures it out. With Biden, he's not able to do that in many cases. So I just think that this is another screw-up with the people who are doing the economic advising. Remember, the economic people said there were going to be over 1 million jobs in the last jobs report, and there were 266,000 jobs. They were off by 800,000 jobs. They were off, you know, one-fourth of what really was produced. Okay? How can you be off by that much if you're an expert economist? How can you possibly be off? Plus, they were wrong on the unemployment rate and the inflation as well. So I think that somebody just screwed up when they crafted these bills. They just said, we're going to tell people, If the Republicans want to get rid of it, we'll just say Republicans are mean to poor people. That's basically what they're saying is. And remember, a lot of people, if they get government money, then they're going to blame the person who takes the money from them, right? So what are they going to do? Are they going to continue paying them the rest of their life, $300 a month? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but that's the problem with socialism and welfare, is that when you give people a government benefit, then the person who takes it away is the bad guy. Okay, so that's the tactic the Democrats always use, is that Republicans are bad people because they're going to take away your benefits. And see that, and then that's the tactic. See, that's how the whole system works like this. The multi-billionaires control the media. The media continually tells you that the Republicans are the bad guy, Trump is the bad guy. So then the poorest people, the people who are the least like the multi-billionaires, vote for the candidates that the multi-billionaires put out there as their leaders, whether it's Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi or Barack Obama. That's how the system works right now. And Trump is upsetting the system. See, the system before Trump, and really going back before Rand Paul and Ron Paul, both of the parties were equally bad. Okay, that's the way they really want the system. They want a system so that if you're an intelligent voter like me or you, and we go vote, we don't have a choice, so we just vote for either we over a third party that doesn't get very many votes and pray that they'll get more votes next time, or we vote for, well, Al Gore's not as bad as Bush. I'll vote for Al Gore. That's what they want. They want you. That's what they want. They want a two-party system. It's when both parties are equally bad. In my opinion, both parties have been equally bad since the days of Goldwater and JFK. They've been equally bad ever since. Okay, until Trump. Okay, and what happened was there started to be a change in the Republican Party when Ron Paul ran in 2007. Then in 2009, Rand Paul ran for the Senate. The Tea Party movement started, and then Ron Paul ran again for president in 2011 and 12. And then even though Mitt Romney won that primary, then Trump came out of nowhere and won in 2015 and 16. That's one of the reasons why they hate Trump so much, because Trump has converted the two-party system into two bad parties, into one party that's relatively good and one party that's relatively bad. That's a terrible position for the New World Order to be in, because then voters can actually have make a difference in the elections. Voters can't make a difference if both parties are bad. If Mitt Romney's running against Obama, the voters can't win, can they? If McCain is running against Obama, can voters win? If Bob Dole is running against Bill Clinton, can voters win? If Bush is running against Gore or John Kerry, look how bad John Kerry's been since the 2004 election.
Oh, just awful. I mean, absolutely awful, Rolf.
Look at Dukakis versus Bush. Look at, you know, Reagan might have been good, but he was shot, you know, 69 days into his presidency and was never got back to where he was. So Reagan might have been okay, but that was taken care of with a bullet by a so-called lone nut. So that's what they want. They want both parties to suck. Remember Mondale versus Reagan? Reagan was in worse shape than Biden, I think, maybe. I mean, I don't know who was worse, but Reagan didn't look good in 1984. He looked like he was way over the hill and too old. He was good he might have been good in 1980, but not in 84. He never recovered. Plus, he was starting to get Alzheimer's disease. We've had terrible candidates, and if you go back before Reagan, you had Nixon, and you had Lyndon Johnson, and you had Gerald Ford. I mean, you just had bad candidates everywhere you look for decades until Trump came along. He's the first good candidate that could win since JFK, really. I think Goldwater might have been okay, but he had no chance of winning. So this is another reason why they hate Trump, and this is why they keep bashing. If you look at what the media is doing, they're trying to make the GOP back to what it was like before when you have both parties suck. They keep telling you we need more moderates in the GOP. They keep telling us that. Of course, Stefanik is supposed to be a moderate and Cheney is supposed to be a conservative, so all of a sudden it's unforgotten that that's what they want. The reason why they want more, quote, moderates is the moderates are more often likely to be the rhinos. And the rhinos are really the people who perpetuate the horrible two-party system where both parties suck. So if you look at it, Trump knows all their tricks. That's another thing. Trump is a smart guy who knows all their tricks and is often one or two steps ahead of them. Now, every once in a while, Trump slips up, okay? The virus caught Trump. He wasn't ready for it. Or if he was ready for it, he wasn't ready enough for it. Okay? He probably should have fired James Comey the first day he was in office. Because after he left him in, then they said, oh, you're committing obstruction of justice if you fire Comey. And that report is supposedly still pending, the Barr report on obstruction of justice. I think they're going to release that report. It's going to be a big nothing burger. But Trump probably learned a lot of things. Trump also made the same mistake that Galileo did. He was too nice of a guy. Galileo went down to Rome to talk to the popes and the cardinals. Trump thought he could go into the New World Order and talk with the people there and say, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. You know, and that obviously that wasn't going to work. There was nothing that Trump could say to James Comey or John Brennan or Andrew McCabe that would make them like Trump and want to do the right thing, because they're evil people. And if Trump gets in again, he's going to make a list while the transition goes on. He's going to make a list. He's going to fire every single person except for a few people that he knows are on his side loyal. Otherwise, he's going to get rid of everybody, and then they can reapply if they want to come back. And that's just one of the mistakes that he made. He didn't make that many mistakes, trust me. He's also going to get to the bottom of the virus. What happened? How did that go about? So, like I said, Trump learned a lot of things in his first term. They also caught him on the January 6th thing where they had some sort of a stand-down order, and all those people went into the Capitol. Well, that was turned into a, you know, Trump was weak on January 7th. If you go back to January 7th, some of these top Republicans were making negative comments about Trump, including McConnell, Kevin McCarthy. Now, these people have all backtracked, okay, because they realized that Trump survived this operation, and he survived it. But the few people haven't backtracked, and they're the people that want to get rid of Trump, and that's people like Liz Cheney. So that's what really happened.
Let me bring in our next caller, who's been very patiently standing by. Scaredy Cat, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim and Rolf and I guess Paul from California, Bruce from Texas, and Mitch. So, Rolf, I told you this before on your last interview with Jim here, that I am a fan of yours. And, of course, I'm a fan of Jim's, too. Specifically, your very sharp analysis. And you're my go-to guy for Republican Party politics. And I think that's what you like to be, too, right? That's your main subject that you want to express to us, is Republican politics. And you give us news on that. And you, like your point about keeping President Trump's name especially in circulation to take the heat of the media attacks off of Ron DeSantis, the governor in Florida. So I hope you won't mind that I disagree with you strongly about the Jews' power over the whites. But before we get to that, maybe I can present just a couple of quick things which you can answer. The paper ballot seems such an easy solution to election tampering. Like my precinct, for example, is just a little school, maybe a cafeteria or a music room. I'm just guessing there are only a few hundred people show up. And I think there is a wicked trend, I think a corrupt trend, to combine precincts together so it again becomes a gigantic like a communistic, democratic, football field type of thing. So to keep it very, very local, divided into small, only a few hundred, maybe 1,000 paper ballots, why can't there be a couple of Democratic representatives party and all the other smaller parties too, Republicans? And literally it'll just be done in a couple of hours. Everybody's eyeballs are on the pieces of paper which the voters just turned in, so that there's no question of computers doing the counting. Why they should never have been brought in, and is there a person who is like the paper ballot czar, who is going after this? And if not, why not? I mean, it's like creating a rocket, you know, with spikes down to feed your little baby a little piece of carrot. You know, you can yourself sit in front of your baby and pick up a spoon and feed your baby the spoon. Everything is done by hand and by our own eyeballs. Why create huge machines, I think they're called roofs or something, unnecessarily? So that's, I'll stop now.
Can I ask you what state you're from?
Don't want to tell you. It's in the Northeast.
Okay, well, every state has their own rules. Under the Constitution, elections are conducted by the states. The reason why the Founding Fathers did it that way is that the federal government is a separate entity from the state. So the founders didn't want the federal government itself picking its own president or its own person, leaders. It wants the states to be in charge of picking the people who are in the federal government. It's like a, where it's like a separation of powers. It's also a form of decentralization. As far as having everybody count the ballot, well, first of all, we didn't have voting machines until, I don't know when we started having them, but I agree. Why do we even have to have voting machines? Why can't each precinct, which has a few hundred votes, of maybe 1,000 votes, why can't they just count the votes by hand and then report to the, you know, there's a hierarchy, you report the numbers, and then it goes up to the top. This is how it was done all through American history until really, I don't know when voting machines started. I guess I should know that, but I don't. But why not? I agree with that. Now, the voting machines, the way most places are done, the voting machines count the votes, but you still have paper ballots, okay? There's some places where you don't even have paper ballots. Some places. Now, I don't think there's very many places that do. So that's a good point. Maybe we should not even have voting machines, just have the precincts count the ballots. Right now there's a lot of bills in the various states for different ways to fix the elections. And the main ones focus on having getting rid of voter harvesting and enforcing voter ID laws, but there's also cleaning up voter lists. There's, in Wisconsin, where I'm from, they have a problem with people who claim they're handicapped, and then you can avoid voter ID if you just say you're handicapped. We also have a problem with the voter lists. We also have a problem with outside groups coming in and then connecting up with these different mayors and then connecting up with the voting people. And then actually what they do is they're finding out where the ballots are mailed. So if you're with one of these groups that's they're supposedly helping turnout, what you do is you find out where are the ballots that have been mailed out that haven't been returned. Then you send a volunteer to that person to get their ballot. And does the person really fill out the ballot, or does the volunteer fill out the ballot? We don't know. So there's a lot of problems, and I do agree that would be a benefit. I guess I'm not hearing, you're right, I haven't heard a lot of Republicans say, let's just get rid of voting machines. But if you look at the recount in Arizona right now, well, there's a massive problem with the voting machines, because the voting machines claim they have proprietary information, so they don't want to release the so-called, you know, the codes of how the machines are made. So that's another reason not to have voting machines. Why not just count the votes the way we did back in the Stone Age? That's a good point. And I'll bring that up the next time I go to a Republican meeting.
Good, good, Rolf. Scary, go ahead, more.
Okay, so you had mentioned Liz Cheney, and I'm just a member of the general public, so it would be good for us to know. You were saying she's the number three person, and she's been replaced by a better Republican. I think it's called COG. I think it is Continuity of Government, COG. So who would be the most important people over us? Like number one, president, general, not politics, just president, number two, is that Speaker of the House, and so on. Could you just name for me three or four?
Well, the head of the Senate is probably more important than the Speaker of the House, so Chuck Schumer. And then the people in the Supreme Court, the people who make up the, you need five votes in the Supreme Court, so the five to six, right now the five to six conservative judges, some of them aren't that conservative, like, you know, John Roberts especially, the five to six judges in the Supreme Court who have the majority most of the time. Then you have the Speaker of the House, then the House has the what's called the leadership. So Steve the Democrats and the Republicans have their own leaders in their and I don't even have all these names memorized because I don't pay attention. I'm not a lobbyist, but some of the people like Steny Hoyer, is he still around? He was one of the leaders in the Democrat Party. If you remember Joe Crowley, he was the guy. He was number four in the Democrat Party in the House. He got beat by AOC. Remember Eric Cantor? Remember him? He got beat in. He was the number two Republican in the House, and he got beat in the primary in 2014 in a big surprise. So there's different people. I know John Cornyn is one of the top senators in the Republican Senate. I think that Rick Scott is also one of the top senators in leadership, I think. So these are the people who are most in charge of fundraising. What you say, what are these people doing? Liz Cheney, take Liz Cheney. One of her main jobs was fundraising for Republicans. Okay, so one of the reasons why she was put in there is because her father was Dick Cheney. She's a big name, so they put her in there. They figure she can be a fundraiser. She can also help with keeping, you know, Bush and Cheney Republicans, the old Republicans that I didn't like very much, keep them on board with the Republican Party. That's why she was put in there. Okay, the reason she's being taken out is really not that she disagrees with Trump. That's true. But the real reason is that she's not doing what the House caucus wants. The House caucus doesn't want people complaining about Trump, period, because it's not good politics for the Republican Party to complain about Trump. The media keeps telling us that Trump is this really bad person, but the reality is he's not a bad person politically. He's a good person politically. And most Republicans are running on Trump-type issues, the same bread and butter issues that Republicans have always run on, like lower taxes, lower regulations. But what's shifting is Republicans used to be the pro-war party under Bush, and they weren't worried about civil liberties, and they also weren't worried about the border. So,
Walt, you did a great job, my friend. Thanks for callers, Bruce, Paul, Scaredy Cat. All of the above. Good work. Great job, Paul. Thanks for coming. Look forward to having you back.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed the callers.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect,
Triangle.
Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage.